grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man. Yes, yes. Marijuana Media. Chris is in the studio this week.
Yes, I am. Kia ora.
Bloody awesome.
You're pretty good too.
How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. Good.
Getting there. Just banging the microphone.
Lovely. Biking through the downtown inner city.
Good weather for
taking
a bike.
Taking the lead
ride.
Of not calling it the CBD. I like calling it CBD because of CBD.
Yeah, duh. Of course you do.
And, you know, you put that in the old hemp store address in Google, CBD, and then it gets the right people.
Exactly.
But I get there it. It's go. Not all about business. It's about people. That's the main thing, right?
And that's what we should camp? That's what we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
People.
Right on. And that leads me to, speaking of people, will drug testing drivers really make New Zealand's roads safer? We talked a bit about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. Lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
All week at the shop, people coming in, wondering.
True.
So last week was more like, printing press releases. This week we've got a few bits of analysis. This is Professor Joe Bowden of Canterbury Uni in the conversation which was run on One News and Radio New Zealand. Without more further ado, though, I need to get in the zone. You probably do too.
I did.
Let's get this terpene
you
drink.
You read my mind.
We're having a non-alcoholic terpene drink here. It's the terpenes of sativas, which are your pinene and limonene.
And they do give me energy for my show. Shoutouts to the hemp store for that.
Right on. Your good herb soda. In zone. Yum. Not a shameless plug, but I do like it. So, Joe Bowden. On the conversation, and he notes, we did talk about this last week, the research is weak, so they talk about all this being evidence-based or so forth. The research is actually very weak.
Mm.
The stats that come out of ESR are very shonky, include innocent drivers, unimpaired drivers, people with tiny traces. Many studies, and even these stats from ESR, it shows an association, not a cause, is what he notes. And unlike alcohol, where blood alcohol concentrations closely track impairment. You know, take a figure, you will get that kind of impairment when you measure it objectively. No such relationship exists with THC. And that's because it's fat soluble, so traces linger in the body and then they appear in the saliva long after any intoxicating effect has passed.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. And this makes saliva testing a poor proxy for impairment. Because, of course, they're not actually testing impairment, they're testing saliva. And it's based on this premise that if they find it in your saliva, you must be impaired.
Yeah.
Turns out, no.
Turns out wrong.
And what he notes is other jurisdictions, i.e. places that have legalized it, half of America, have taken a different path. Many have returned to behavioural assessments of impairment, the traditional field sobriety approach for observing coordination, balance and attention.
Yeah.
Because if it's legal, you can't just test for detection of presence. You actually have to show impairment.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what they're doing. And it turns out those touch the nose, pointy, count to 30 in your head and balance on, one line type thing.
Yeah.
They are very good.
Yeah, totally.
As long as the police are objective. Do we have objective police? That would be the thing. So you'd have to think, well, you've got to do a body cam. If they're doing a test of your impairment on the side of the road, it should be videoed.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And but yeah, that's a lot better than just some sort of, residue in a bodily fluid.
That's just crazy that's the thing now. And they've started, when does that begin?
They've said by Christmas, rolling out in Wellington. It's like a soft launch. Do it in Wellington, so the vast majority of the country is not affected right at the beginning. We kind of let it happen. It's New Year, people are on holiday, people are thinking about road safety. So it's kind of like, from their point of view,
they're like, that's good, good timing.
And then by the time it gets to Auckland and sort of early next year or whatever, they'll be like, oh, we've already been doing it.
Hilarious.
The only defence permissible under it, so you get pinged for something, and I'll get to the defence in a second, but first I'll explain why that's important.
Yes.
Newsroom on Tuesday. Another researcher, University of Auckland researcher Nicolia Symes, I believe. Their work engages with the economies and politics of intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting. Yeah. They've published this thing in Newsroom, Roadside Drug Testing's Puritanical Political Agenda. And what they're saying is the specifics of the scheme, so we all agree, let's be safe, don't want to be impaired on the road, want to be able to drive down the road safely.
Good
everyone,
objective.
Everyone agrees.
Yeah.
The specifics of the scheme raises the question of what's really behind it. Is it a genuine effort, he writes, to improve road safety, or is this an attempt to police drug use under the guise of road safety?
Yes, 100%.
Well,
correct.
There's three main points, right? So before you make up your mind, what they say. So number one, it doesn't test for impairment, as we've just said.
Yeah.
And this is the only article that I've read so far that raises that there is a criminal level in this testing. It's not just this one nanogram infringement that was in the government press release and all the coverage that came out last week.
Mm.
If you hit three nanograms, that's criminal. They could be turning up at your door to arrest you to take you off down to court. So that criminal level, for occasional users, this level can be reached for about 24 hours after consumption. Now remember, intoxicating, maybe 2 to 4 hours.
Mm.
So 24 hours for that level. For frequent users, it can be 72 hours. So they say if you smoke on a Sunday afternoon, you could be over the legal limit until Thursday morning.
That is crazy.
It gets crazier. They noted the Attorney General's report when the law change was going through that's on the Parliament website. And in that report, Attorney General Judith Collins says, Ministry of Transport and the police consider that there is likely to be a high number of drug-impaired drivers who are not captured under the current compulsory impairment test because there may be no observable sign of impairment at the time of driving.
What?
So that's that test we just talked about. So the researcher says, well, if the impairment's not observable, if there's no deficits of coordination, speech or motor skills detected by specially trained police, then is there actually any impairment? So that's again why they're raising this question of, well, what's this really about? You know, if they're not actually finding impairment, but they're saying, well, therefore we want to do a different one.
Mm.
And then, of course, as we said last week, these devices don't actually test the most impairing substances. And 10% of them, this is the only story that's actually covered this here locally. It's sort of common knowledge in Australia. 10% of all these tests are false positives.
Yeah.
So 10 people go through the checkpoint or whatever.
Mm.
At least one of those 10 people is going to be on absolutely nothing, and they'll be falsely accused of being on something. It might be cannabis, it might be meth, it might be MDMA, it might be cocaine. Those are the four they're testing for.
What an absolute waste of taxpayers' money. Sorry, had to say it. It's just crazy.
It seems to, we're still stuck in this thing where they seem to think this tough on crime, well, this is, you know, this equals tough on crime, therefore I'm going to win votes.
They're not even tough on crime. They're absolute, anyway.
No, and some of the other coverage around their methamphetamine action plan has kind of raised that too, where you have this grand announcement that amounted to $7 million a year for 4 years. That is the government's response to the use of methamphetamine doubling in the last year, and cocaine too, doubling in the last year, and this is their response. Oh, we'll give $7 million a year for 4 years. That'll solve it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions, please text in 5395. And if you happen to be a cop, what's your opinion on this? Because
I think a lot of them want to change the law. A lot of them were very pleased when that amendment went through that told them to not arrest consumers. And I hear that from beat cops all the time.
Yeah.
They tell me that's what it should have been all along. Still discrimination. Still 3,000 New Zealanders convicted for using cannabis in the last 18 months alone.
What?
So 3,000 in 18 months. Convicted for using cannabis.
For using cannabis.
Or possession, personal. 3,000 in 18 months. So they're still going after people.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this is why Harm Reduction Coalition, this is on Red New Zealand, called for radical drug law reform.
Mm.
Government says it's not on the cards. Unfortunately.
What is on the cards for them?
Matt Doocy, Mental Health Minister, said the government had no intention because they're tough on crime.
Womp womp.
This was a meeting of researchers and advocates down in Wellington to mark 50 years of the Misuse of Drugs Act.
Mm.
And also covered by Gordon Campbell on why we should decriminalise personal drug use. I came across this on Scoop, but I think it might be elsewhere too. He cited, we talked about that University of Otago and Helen Clark Foundation research where what the spending was.
Mm.
And it was like, oh, if there was this mythical $100, what would you want it spent on? Da, da, da. That was all the coverage at the time. Well, Gordon Campbell actually read the bloody thing. Turns out your spending per capita on drug policy is actually $95 per man, woman and child of New Zealand. So we're each contributing $95.
Mm.
And of that $95, you're putting in $1.25 into harm reduction. That's your annual spend,
that
folks.
That is crazy. I'd like to know the full breakdown.
Think of all the crap and chaos going on out there, and we're each putting in $1.25.
You should be able to pick
it.
where your tax goes.
Mm.
That would be pretty awesome.
Well, this is what the politicians have decided in their wisdom, where it should go.
Jesus.
Yeah.
$1.25 well spent, then.
I came across a good study too, because a lot of people say, and this is even coming up in the driving coverage too, oh, if they legalise cannabis, it should be set to 25.
Mm.
People started saying this about 10 years ago, and I always think, where did this 25 come from? Mm. Why 25? Is it just a nice even number?
Mm.
And you know, it takes about 10 years, and finally some researchers look into it, and they're like, yeah, it's just some random number. So these are actual brain researcher types, and they were like, well, actually, no, 25 is not supported by neuroscience. Most of your brain maturation is done by 18.
Mm.
And so a minimum legal age, is what they call it, an MLA, 18 to 21, is scientifically supportable and socially coherent for non-medical cannabis use. Policy decisions should not be only about your neurobiological brain development, but about all sorts of other things, legal, justice, sociocultural,
exactly.
That kind of thing. So, and what they noted, Germany and Canada, their minimum age is 18.
Mm-hmm.
Recent studies showed reductions in youth use since legalisation in both places.
Exactly.
Most US states are 21. Again, research, 19 out of 21 states that have legalised adult use of cannabis in America have had declines in youth use. So almost
it's
all of them.
Literally like in the evidence.
Our one was going to be 20 in the referendum. But at the time, there were people saying, oh, no. Should be 25. And the issue there, of course, as they pointed out at the time, the vast majority of cannabis is consumed by people under 25. So if you make the age limit 25, you're actually cutting out most people. And you're saying to the illicit suppliers, here you go, you've got them still.
You've got 7-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, so that,
wow,
there you go, folks.
Wow,
that's why we advocate R18. Be consistent with alcohol too. Socially coherent policy.
Yeah.
According to the science.
Socially coherent. Remember those words.
And just finally, speaking of adult use, congratulations to the people who went to Metallica, whose consumption of cannabis made the Herald.
No way.
It's the pungent, I quote, the pungent, this is today, pungent aroma of sweet Mary Jane drifted across the stadium. James Hetfield asked, what's that smell? never mind, we're here to forget all the bullshit that goes on in life. We're here to forget all that and just have a good time.
True stories.
There you go, that's a quote in the Herald.
It looked like quite a spectacular show. I didn't see any of it, but I saw the lights and it was like an alien sort of beacon out into the universe.
Wow.
It's really amazing. It's like they spent a lot of money on that show. Hmm. And it cost a lot of money, I guess.
Good. Well,
but,
if anyone went, and if you were responsible for that Mary Jane.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on you. And text on. You get a prize.
Ooh, a prize. Hey, some people have texted in.
Okay.
Do you want to do any more?
Sure. No, I'm done.
Okay, someone says, what do they do with the drug tests afterwards? Do they dispose or is it mass DNA test?
So officially, you take the first saliva sample. If you fail that, that sample goes off to the lab, which is ESR. This is the lab that got it wrong with that innocent driver.
Yes. Yep,
where they supposedly said handling error and all this sort of thing. So, you don't get to test it independently.
No, and they take the drug. So you have to do the test and then you have to wait 5 minutes.
Well, so the first one, if you fail, the first one goes off and then you have to do a second one because they've acknowledged the tests are unreliable, so you've got to fail twice. So so you're waiting. Then you do the second one. Then if you fail two, then they go, right, now you've got to stand down for 12 hours. And if you haven't got another driver that's sweet, then I guess they take the keys. I don't know.
I'm so looking forward to the traffic.
So this is going to be the issue. If you know, you've had something, like the example, you've had something on Sunday and then Thursday rolls around and you fail and you're down for 12 hours and no driving.
And do you know if they're going to be doing these tests? Like, you know how sometimes they check your license. Sometimes they do a breath test for alcohol. Are the alcohol and the drug test going to be separate or is it going to be the same thing?
It can be anything. And They could do it all together. I mean,
oh my god,
they're only budgeting for 50,000 a year, right? Which is something like 130 a day. That compares to about 3 million liquor tests a year. So clearly, it's not going to be on the same scale. Okay. It's not a quick wave and a count to five by alcohol. Yeah. It's 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. So it's probably going to be people they suspect.
They're going to do targeted.
It could be just targeted, meaning people they don't like, people they don't like the look of. Who knows?
Mm.
But it won't be purely random. Because they won't be able to
block
up the whole motorway if
random.
You're doing that. You know?
Exactly. Mm. Okay, someone said...
Oh, and it gets worse. So the one that goes off to the lab, they test for the 25 substances, not just the 4 on the dipstick thing. So it gets tested at the lab. If you come back with the over 3 from the lab test, now you're on a criminal offence. And this is what I talked about before. You might get a knock on the door saying your result was over 3. You're now under arrest.
So you've got a couple of weeks to run away.
Here's your summons or whatever, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. Would prescription of CBD 100 milligrams times 2 a day show up in testing?
It shouldn't do, but some devices do just trigger cannabinoids rather than THC.
Yeah.
So the device is the same one they're using in Australia, the Dragar blah blah, whatever it's called. I'll look up the thing and get it to you. It got Know Your Stuff. Credits to them.
Know Your Stuff.
Posted on their Instagram that they'd found out what the device was.
I commented.
It's the same one they use in Australia, and that's why we know you're getting all these false positives, because that's what happens over there.
Shout-outs to those guys. Someone said the guy from Metallica did say, where's that smell coming from? And then he sniffed his armpit.
Oh.
That's fun, isn't it?
Hey, we just covered that. There's armpit smells that are like cannabis. We covered that a few weeks ago.
No, I wasn't here. You must have been talking to Charlotte. I would have remembered such a thing, because that's awesome. That is dank stuff. That's awesome. I think some sort of hemp deodorant would be really cool. Some weed smelling.
We tried it years ago and we just got people saying, I don't actually want the smell of cannabis. But I think it would change now. I think now you get people going,
Or maybe it doesn't really smell like cannabis, but like maybe there's some sort of thing in the hemp that makes it less. Anyway,
it smelled like you were carrying a lot.
That's awesome.
What it smelled like. Yeah.
You're very loud.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, shout outs to you, Chris. Thanks
Sweet
for
ass.
Coming in and sharing your wisdom.
No worries.
I see a thing over there. It says J-Day.
Oh, yeah. That's only 2 weeks away. December 6th, Saturday, Albert Park.
That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of fun stuff. Legalise it, as they say.
Working on all the permits and things, waste management plans and so forth.
Gosh, a lot goes into doing that sort of thing.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
A lot of good partners involved, and it's been going for 33 years now in Albert Park. It's incredible.
Okay. Mm. I think I've definitely been to a few when I was a young person. I haven't been to one in a long time, though. But maybe it's my time.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I think it might be.
It's time to go outside. Well, thanks. That was awesome.
All right.
Do it, then.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with Mary
Jane. She's my man. Catch the spectacular Crystal Chin at 95 BFM Drive Island at the Beer Spot Morningside, Friday, November 28.
shift of focus. Thought I was happy out here on my own, and I was, but only on the surface. Cause now I got the rise and shine, but when the night is over, said and done, can't help but thinking I'm the only one waking with you more than on my mind. Cause I want you early. We never make it till the morning. Leave my bed without a warning. Suddenly it's full hall. Got me thinking that it's my fault, baby. Burn me once, boy, burn me nice. Fool, let you burn me twice. I don't know why, I don't know why. I never quit when I should. About time I understood you're a bad man, sometimes good. Taking what I got and walking out, so what's your wager? Who's this game with? It's getting late, getting close to that flame. If you can take the heat I'm bringing when the day breaks, I'm done with burning through the night to watch it folding. We never make it till the morning without a warning. And then suddenly it's full hall. Got me thinking that it's my fault, baby. Burn me once, boy, burn me nice. A fool let you burn. I don't know why, I don't know why. I never quit when I should. Oh, about time I understood you're a bad man, sometimes good. You left me crying in the dark. Body shaking just from the memory. You didn't play your part, played it so well, the evil after. Baby, you burn me once, boy, you burn me nice. Fool that you burn me twice. I don't know why, I don't know why. I never quit when I should. Oh, it's about time I understood you're a bad man sometimes. Burn me once, boy, you burn.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Secrets! That was a brand new track that I just played. Let me just find where I'm at on my little thingy majingy. Nima Astria with Deny. Hello! Hi, people! Off of the Nympho, who now have a label, which is really awesome. Prior to that, we had Diva Mahal with Sometimes Good. And then, of course, Crystal Chen with The Forecast. And you can catch Crystal Chen and Joe Captain playing the next Drive Island, which is next Friday at the Beer Spot in Morningside. If you know, you know. Drive Island's a really awesome experience, and it's so cool to see the radio live. What the hell? We're almost at the 5 o'clock news, but I think it's time for me to give away the first prize I have. The first giveaway of today's show, which is the album of the week, Hatchie's Licorice. It's a project from the Australian singer-songwriter Harriet Pilbeam, and it's a brand new album called Licorice. And I guess Licorice is kind of like the personification of, is that what I would say? Personification? She's the personification of Licorice. I've listened to the album. It's really beautiful, really fab, indie pop sort of vibe, really honest and quite clear in its and its objectives, and I think that's really cool for an artist to do just off the bat. So shout outs to Hatchie. If you would like a copy of this on wax, all you need to do is text me with your name, B card number, and what candy you would be to 53955. I've been listening to and watching this thing. It's D&D, it's embarrassing, but it's called Candy Kingdom, and they play as candy characters. So I've actually been thinking about this. And what did I say? I said I'd be a nerd rope. So if you would like the album of the week, all you have to do is have a B card, obviously. Name, B card number, and the kind of candy you would be, 53955. And you might just take away the album of the week. And I'll play a track from that. I'll play the title track right after this. This is You Got Time and I Got Money by Smurs, who were just announced playing on that new awesome festival called Strange Universe. What the hell? Enjoy this one. Keep it locked. It's the B.
Put your hands around my body. Hold me tight and show it to me. I am yours and your boy only. Put your hands around me. Put your hands around my body. I am yours and your only. You got time. Put your hands around me.
Savage World, the phenomenal debut album by Aotearoa's one and only Thea, is out now. And to mark the special occasion, she's putting on a show.
Alternative Titan Thea will be delivering an unmissable show, bursting with bilingual bangers.
Thea, Girl in a Savage World album release show, Whammy Bar, Friday, February 27. Get your tickets now from Under the Radar. No My Hiding My.
For the best in hip, you gotta keep it green.
And food, and twine, books, clothes, vape supplies, and oil, and butter, drug testing, my brother.
For the best in hip, you gotta keep it green. The Hemp Store on K-Road is what you need.
Experience the Hemp Store at 253 Karangahape Road. For nationwide delivery, visit hempstore.co.nz or call 0800 Hemp Store.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green. The Hemp Store on K Road is what you need.
Comedy Culture NZ is hyped to present Thems and Thems Comedy this November at Basement Theatre. And if you have pronouns, you're invited.
A whole week of live comedy shows with a different theme every night, from stand-up to drag to music and more.
Featuring women and gender non-conforming comedians from across Aotearoa.
Thems and Thems Comedy at Basement Theatre, November 18th till 22nd.
Find the full program at basementtheatre.co.nz.
Sydney-based electronic R&B duo To Another are taking the stage at the Tuning Fork Saturday, December 6th.
You paid your taxes.
This musical pair will be serving a delicious array of savoury jams to get up and groove to. To Another are playing live at the Tuning Fork Saturday, December 6th. Tickets from the tuningfork.co.nz.
95 BFM have teamed up with our mates at McLeod's and our other mates at The Others Way to bring B-card holders a fully sick prize pack to win.
Yay!
Listen in to 95 BFM Drive all week for your chance to win two tickets to The Others Way, a $100 voucher for McLeod's Pizza Barn and Brewery in Waipu, plus a $50 voucher for The White Lady. So keep those ears perked up, that B-card active, and those fingers warm if you want to win.
BFM Drive.
Thanks to the Beer Spot, your tabby place.
Thanks, Drive. And just reminding you guys, if you want to take out, if you want to win the album of the week, which is Hatchie's Licorice, please text me with your name, B-card number, and what kind of candy you are to 53995, and that album will land in your hot little hands. And you know what else is going to land in your hands right about now? The 5 o'clock news. Gorgeous.
BFM News.
Ahe, ahe, Maria. Good afternoon. Ko Emmanuel, toko ingawa, ko te rima karaka. It's 5 o'clock. A government bill will result in schools losing the ability to opt out of international maths and reading tests. The bill, the Education and Training Systems Reform Bill, which was introduced to Parliament this week, seeks to deny schools the right to opt out of these tests, fasten the ability to intervene with failing schools, and establish a property agency with the ability to mandate schools pay for necessary infrastructure. Education Minister Erica Stanford says the bill will guarantee that the education system supports the government's priorities. And New Zealand First leader Winston Peters has promised to repeal the Regulatory Standards Bill if re-elected next year. Having voted the bill through on its third reading last week, Peters told Radio Waitia host Dale Husband that while the New Zealand First Party had attempted to neutralise its adverse effects, he wanted the bill gone. Speaking at Parliament this afternoon, Peters confirmed that while the Regulatory Standards Bill was in the coalition agreement, his government would campaign against it in 2026. The bill's main proponent, ACT leader David Seymour, has called Peters' stance a pretty worrying development that could mean Peters is preparing to ally himself with Labour once again. When asked if this is the case, Peters said, "Don't make me laugh." And the COP31 climate meeting is now expected to be hosted by Turkey after Australia dropped its bid. Following talks at COP30, currently taking place in Brazil, Australia has agreed to support Turkey's bid to host in exchange for Australia's minister chairing. This would be an unusual arrangement for a COP meeting, as the annual event's president is typically also from the host country. In an interview with ABC, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said the compromise with Turkey was an outstanding result, adding that Pacific issues would be in front and centre of COP31. Ara te kawa pūrongo, and that's the news.
A 95 BFM weather update.
Anei ngā tohu huaurere mō tēnā rā, your weather report for today. Fine, with some cloud and increasing afternoon sunny periods. West to southwesterly winds, a high of 24 degrees today and an overnight low of just 15 degrees. The moon phase tonight is a new moon. Sunset is at 8:15 this evening. Anei ngā tohu huaurere mō te apopo, your weather forecast for tomorrow. Ramere, Friday, sunny and partly cloudy and warm. Light winds and sea breezes.